2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Everybody, this is the DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by the DFSArmy.com. And joining me today, like always, the guy that never misses a day. Yesterday. No, it's my boy Al Walsh with me today. How are we doing today?
Good, Al. And you know what's funny is that every time, like, let's say I needed a break yesterday. The body wasn't functioning the way it should have. But it's funny because if I miss a day of podcasting or I miss a day with an article or something like that, I always have a nice evening in the competition sphere. I don't know what it is. I guess it just allows me to focus more on the lineup instead of, you know, writing or podding or making sure I'm making plays based on what I said earlier in the day. And everything worked out very well last night. Ended up finishing 26th in the slam. Was as high as third, but then that Peralta home run really knocked me down there. Actually knocked me all the way down to 55th at the time. Then I had to battle my way back with the Chase Anderson win. Props to Scani on that one. I mean, I know we talked a little bit about it, but I know him having that idea kind of made me look.
Don't even
look into a little more. So
give him credit because we were talking about it. I said if Valencia and if Chris Davis are out, he is very intriguing the way he's been pitching.
I'm just saying it's his player, you know. So
okay,
like John Gray, I'd give you props just naturally. It's kind of like you'd be grandfathered into the props, you know.
Gotcha. Well, you know, Chase Anderson is a former Oklahoma Sooner.
I did not know that.
Ooh, congrats. They probably don't listen to this.
Are you
kidding
me?
But if they do, congratulations to the Oklahoma Sooner women's softball team for beating Auburn in the Women's College World Series. We are national champs, baby.
Nice. Help, we gave you some points in the Capital One Cup. And
yes,
that was actually like an epic softball series that went on there. I think it was.
Oh my God, dude! For those of you that don't know, and I know this has no idea, it probably doesn't interest a lot of people at all. But the Women's College World Series actually happens in Oklahoma City.
That's right.
It's like the Omaha of women's college softball.
Bring everybody to the center of the country.
Yep, and it's funny because the last couple of years, whenever they've come down here, they've actually talked about moving it because when they come down here, it's the end of May, early June, and that's primo storm season. And there have been, I think, 3 out of the last 4 years, they've had to postpone games at times because of tornadoes.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm glad to see everything went off without a hitch. It was an epic series. OU won by one in game one. Auburn hit a 2-run home run in the bottom of the fifth, I believe, in game two.
Wasn't it a walk-off?
And then they hit a walk-off ball to win it. And then OU won yesterday 2-1, or was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago. 2-1. No, it was last night. All my days kind of got together. So, yeah, it was kind of nice. You know, Chase Anderson, he's been pitching pretty good, pretty well. And we talked about it yesterday in Slack. That's why, guys, if you're not a member of the DFS Army and you aren't taking part in the Slack conversation, you know, then you're really, really, really missing out because between me and Al right now, and I know Chop throws in his 2 cents every once in a while, but he writes novels, so it's kind of hard to on the fly.
Even the messages are novels in the Slack chat.
No kidding, right?
gotta search for keywords in there.
Yeah, keywords. If you go through and you highlight your settings for keywords, then I can rag on this because over under, what are the odds you think he listens to the pod?
Chop?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's a listener.
I don't think he is.
Because I'll get a nice little below the bell shot every now and again on something I said. I'm like, I know you're listening. I know you're listening.
Yeah, I don't think you listen.
I have Chop back on. I don't want to say I feel naked with that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to have a little heart to heart with the wifey here.
Yeah, we gotta get his own studio set up. We gotta get a lot of things going here. But I just wanted to head real quick to that the whole women's softball thing. You know, women's softball, is a great women's softball game when Twitter's talking about it. Cause Twitter never talks about women's softball, so.
No.
That's how I even was made aware that all this was going on. I didn't watch the game, but I did see everything on SportsCenter. So.
I've seen more stuff on the WNBA than I have on, women's softball. But it was a great series.
Hey, they got next.
It was awesome. But, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. Guys, if you want a game breakdown – if you want plays and stuff like that, I'll give you two pieces of advice. One, don't play the early slate because it's Houston and Texas and Colorado and Pitt. And that Colorado game is a one-game series, and it is in Denver.
Yep. Very.
This is the makeup from earlier in the year.
It's very awkward for the Pirates since they played the Mets at home last night. They got to travel to Colorado, and then they got to hustle on back home for a weekend series.
Yep. Mark Melanson tweeted at the Rockies last night and goes, "Hey, Rockies, can you make sure that there's not going to be a rain delay before we hop on this bird?" it's a one-game set. It's a makeup game from earlier in the year. Chad Bettis and Jeff Locke, sit back, watch some baseball, which we're going to get into kind of a little bit of strategy talk here in a little bit. But watch some baseball, kind of try to pick up on some things. Don't play it. Make sure you jump in the Slack channels for the late game breakdown, the main slate, the only slate that matters. And I say that because I don't believe in express slates. I don't, if you want to play them. But, we're here for the main. We're here for the main slates, one of my big things is that's where the big money is. I'm a huge tournament player just like yourself. And that's where, we can have really, really good nights. Mm-hmm. And I have to say this, but we've been starting to turn around and have some good nights. And what I feel a little bit is we're starting to get into a little bit of a rhythm. We don't have the afternoon shows anymore, which actually I love doing them.
Right.
And I think they're necessary for NBA, and we're going to bring them back for football, so don't anybody worry. We are going to bring back live shows for football, but they're going to be, tailored around some other things. But it makes it less stressful. You're not hurrying at the end of the night. To try to make lineups and make sure and to answer questions and do cheat sheets and everything, because all of that information comes out in the afternoon. And so it's just like that feeling when your boss comes in at, 3:30 on a Friday afternoon and just dumps a whole shit ton of work on you. Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like every day for us about 3:30 when we were trying to hop on these live shows. So
yeah, well, let's not get it twisted either. We do these shows earlier in the day so that we can get more downloads, more views, and that kind of thing. When we were doing the afternoon shows on YouTube, we were probably only getting maybe we didn't get a total number of how many actually tuned in, but at one, the most at one time would be like 6 or 7, maybe that's because people can't download the pod on their lunch break or, we were on YouTube. So I know it's easy to, just tuck the window away and kind of listen, but most people don't do that. I feel like when it's on YouTube, they just feel forced to go in and watch the whole thing. But, yeah. Yes, and again, we have many outlets. We've got the Twitter. We've got the Slack. We've got, our home addresses. If you need to send us faxes, we could even do that. But, you got a whole lot of different outlets that you can get in touch with us before lineup lock. But, again, this is just mainly to break everything down, give you a fresh look at everything, and get on my level, what? Get on my level, what?
Exactly.
Here's my song for the day.
All right, so we're going to go over a couple things here. And I like the idea that you're not – you have really no idea what I'm about to start throwing at you because, you know, it's going to get your – your kind of honest opinion.
All right.
You know, it's a great, great thing to be able to kind of just get it out of you. And we have different views on a couple of these topics that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Now, I know you're a single entry guy.
Sure, sure.
Not saying that you can't make multiple lineups because I know that you have at time. It's just most of the time, 95 to 98% of the time, I know you just do one.
Oh, yeah, that is a fairly accurate percentage right there, my friend.
So, and, you know, that, make no mistake about it. Just because you do one does not mean that if they don't make it in your lineup, you didn't like other people. It's, you know, salary restrictive. You kind of have some things to, really kind of, you know, have to hash out.
Yep.
You know, which pitcher do you like? Which batter do you like? What's the lineup spot? So you go through all these things. What I want to point out here, though, is the more lineups you make, okay,
yeah,
the less kind of the smaller the margin for error is, as far as being profitable.
Right.
Okay. And what I mean by that is if I ride or die with one team a night, okay, whether that be a $50, a $300, a $1,000, a $3 team, whatever, my ROI has the ability to be greater than, you know, if I make 10 teams, make 30 teams, make 100 teams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that because if I'm playing, say I'm playing the $3 shot on DraftKings, okay? The $3 shot on DraftKings usually pays out, I think it's, what, 20 grand to the top? Player. Let's see here. Yeah, the $3 moonshot pays out 10 grand to the top. Okay, so I turned $3 into 10,000. Well, your first team that you make is your most optimal team.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm listening. My dog's gnawing away on some bone marrow, so I feel bad. I've got a couple of clubs upstairs, and I had to fling the thing across the room because that's what all that gnawing in the background was. Sorry. But yeah, I would agree. Yes.
Okay. So the more teams you make, the less optimal those teams, you know, become, and then eventually you're just throwing mud against the wall to see if it sticks.
Right. And you're kind of, and a lot of other people are doing that too. So in my eyes, what you're doing there is you're kind of just trying to compete with the other people doing that basically.
Right. Well, I feel like a lot of people do that anyway.
Yes.
Whether they're making one team or not. And see, that's what we're here to try to help you with. Okay. Now the big thing is, you know, it depends on the slate. Okay. I'm a depend on the slate guy. You'll see here coming up tomorrow that I will go into lower entries, dollar amount entries, and make more teams.
Right.
Because I have found that when Coors Field is on the slate, since I am a Colorado Rockies fan, I have better success making multiple teams when Coors is on the slate.
Right.
Because I can make a couple fun teams, you know, and yes, I know that's quote unquote throwing away money, but then I feel like I make better decisions with the rest of my team. So if I say I'm making 10 teams,
mm-hmm,
okay, I'll make two with, you know, a Rockies stack and then, you know, throw the Rockies pitcher in there and, you know, do this. I'll make two just for fun teams and those are in, you know, the $10 line drive or whatever, you know, it is. And then I'll make the rest of my real teams. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I will incorporate Rockies guys in there. I'll incorporate Coors Field in there. That way I can make sure I get a piece, and then there'll be a couple where I fade it completely.
Yep.
And then a couple where I stack it up. You know, that way I have not really all my bases covered, but I have every direction that I want to go. Because with me being a Rockies fan, I'm biased to Colorado, and I know what Colorado has the ability to do. Some of my biggest nights have been when I've faded Coors Field and it hasn't gone off.
Right.
You know, it overslept that day or whatever. And then some of my bigger nights have been when I've stacked up the game and, you know, they're like 5% owned, which I never can understand.
You had a big one recently like that with Cincinnati when they were in Denver.
Yeah. And that's something that is, that's just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this is, that's a whole huge, long drawn out little story to get back to one thing. When you're making one lineup.
Right.
Okay. What is kind of your thought process on two different things? One, how do you decide where to go on a pitcher? And I think I know where your answer is on this one. And two, what is your lineup construction method?
All right. Well, I'll start with the method. Typically for me, I want to make sure that I'm getting the highest point total possible. Now, that has a lot to do
with newsflash.
Yeah. That's some creditor looking for money. You're not getting it. But
he heard you had a big night.
Oh yeah. So basically I'm trying to score the most points possible, and I know that sounds stupid because aren't we all? But necessarily, you know, in a cash game you might try to go, you know, a little safer or you know, for instance, we'll just Johnny Peralta last night. You know, I didn't like his matchup. I didn't like his history against Alfredo Simon. So I knew everybody was going to be on him because, you know, the night before, not necessarily everybody was on him because it was his first game back off the DL. Minimum price, he puts up 9 points. Everybody sees that. They're like, of course I'm going to do that. Well, his 34 did not help me last night, but he did hit that homer in the ninth, I believe, and very late in the game. And I'm still happy with the way that my thought process worked out.
Who was this?
Johnny Peralta.
Peralta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, going back to it, you know, I do try to have a nice mixture of, you know, maybe some chalk and definitely some low-owned people. For instance, last night, the two low-owned guys that I had that really did a great job were Jacoby Ellsbury and Michael Conforto. I got to chalk this up to home field advantage because these are guys that I've been watching lately. Now, Conforto, on one hand, hadn't hit a home run in his previous 11 games. But a price like that on a hitter, on a great hitter, I'm not even going to pull back any punches on there.
And he's been struggling a little bit.
A little bit. He's been struggling a ton.
Well, I say that based on the numbers. Now, if you watch, the strikeouts are there still.
Right.
But if you watch his at-bats, they've been good at-bats.
That's what I was getting to, yes. I mean,
okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. And look, you and me, we both watch a lot of baseball. You know, we were afforded to do that because, you know what, this is what we do. And, you know, the other part, this is what we want to do, you know. I like watching the games. I like looking for little nuances that, you know, the average fan isn't going to see. Now, if I had like a 9-to-5 office job, no, there'd be no way that I'd be able to watch as many games as I do. So, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are in that same predicament. So, you know, they're not going to be able to do it. But, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could go back and watch some at-bats and, you know, do this and that with the MLB, extra innings and stuff like that. But, you know, look, you're only going to be as good as the effort that you put in. Sure, you can throw a lineup together and have it make lucky and you make a ton of money. That's probably not going to happen more times often than not. But, I mean, I got to credit a lot of last night to, you know, me just watching games and knowing that that was going to happen. I mean, yesterday I was like, you know what, I feel a homer coming from Ellsbury. And I had everybody in the Slack, oh, that's a bold call. You were saying he wasn't even on your top 20 outfielders. It was just something that I saw, and him.
Now, I'm not saying he didn't grade out high on my sheets,
right,
but he wasn't the top 20 until some stuff started happening. He did make his way on
all
there,
right,
and I put it on there. I give you full 100% credit because I loved all of the Yankees out. I love the Yankees yesterday, and there's good reasons why. But when a team is in a good spot, you know, I don't narrow it down to 10. I do give people options. I only put at max 20 on there, you know, and there were just too many in good spots last night to be able to kind of narrow it down. So that's kind of the reasoning why. He did make his way on there after there was some – there were some people that didn't make the starting lineup, and obviously you did make him on there. So he didn't grade out initially as a top 20 player.
And, you know, and this isn't like a, hey, look what I had and you didn't kind of thing. It's just the point that I was trying to get to is that, you know, look, your biggest source of trust and information should be yourself. You know, if you see something and you like it, then go with it. I knew that Ellsbury and Conforto – both were going to be very low owned last night, but there was something that I saw that I was like, you know what, this definitely could do it. And I'd be lying if I said I knew I was going to finish, you know, in the top 25 of the Slam, you know, because of that, you know. And it's crazy, too, because had I, like, I really wanted to go with Tillman earlier in the day. That was the one pitcher I wanted to go with. I'd be able to get back. If I went with Tillman and Peralta, instead of – I ended up going with Jonathan Villar at shortstop, and I had Chase Anderson at pitcher. And it's funny because the prices would have worked out. Just like I could have swapped the two, and I still would have had no money left over. It would have been like the perfect fit with the money. But I would have finished second in the Slam for a grand total of $8,000. And I'm not even mad about that because, again, had Peralta not gotten that extra at-bat, you know, he doesn't get the three-run homer there in the final inning. So my process was okay. You know, it was just, damn, man, like, I didn't want to go with the chalk because I knew that Peralta was going to be so highly owned. So my method actually came back to bite me in the ass. But, you know, still finishing 25th lets me know that, yeah, look, that's still a viable option. It's just Peralta got that last at bat against the Cincinnati bullpen, and he went yard. So I'm not terribly mad about it, but as I said yesterday, instead of going Jesus pea shopping today, I'm only going to be able to afford the hookah shell necklace.
Yeah, I had a similar situation like that on Friday night. And for those of you that don't know or that are new to the DFS Army, I'm a little bit of a Q whore. Mm-hmm. and that sounds bad. Hi, my name is Keith. I'm in Boomer's Daddy on all DFS sites, and I am a Q whore. You know, I'm a little bit of a Q whore, and I had a shot to go to Nashville. I was in fourth at the time, and I needed Melvin Upton Melvin Upton was against my Rockies, and Matt Kemp hits a home run in the first inning, and Melvin Upton starts to do things, and then the Corey Seager thing happened. Well, if I would have, you know, play, and I had a guy in there that got a zero. Well, if I would have played Corey Seager and Matt Kemp instead of the two guys that I did play, I would have not only won the qualifier, I would have won the internet that night. And we're talking like probably close to almost 25K.
Even the Asian internet you would have won.
Yes. We're talking the Asian internet, the UK internet, we're talking all of that.
Antarctic internet.
I don't think they have internet.
They should. They should.
They should. They're missing out on a lot of really good porn.
maybe that'll get them out of their igloos.
Yeah, no kidding. Or melt them, one of the two. it's one of those things that, you know, you sit there and, you know, you go through all this information, you pour over all the data, and then when you start getting down to lineup building, and it really, really does. And some of the things that I found out for me, lately, I do a lot of reverse engineering, and I do a lot of reverse engineering when it comes to Qs, because those are the tournaments that basically are win or just hope you get your money back.
Right.
Okay. For the entry. And it's not easy to get your money back at that because they're so top heavy, so top heavy. So you're sitting there and you're like, okay, well, I study a lot of, you know, a lot of other lineups that win these qualifiers. Mm-hmm. And what I found out for baseball that I wasn't doing, and this has actually started to turn my season around a little bit, is stacking. And I'm a big proponent of, you know, mini stacks, you know, that are maybe three, but I was never stacking four.
Okay.
And what I found a lot of these lineups are doing is they've got their pitcher, you know, whatever. Because first of all, you have to nail the pitching. I mean, if you don't nail the pitching on FanDuel, then, I mean, your night's pretty much over.
As Yankees play-by-play announcer Michael Kay likes to say on a home run, see ya!
Yeah, exactly. I was hoping you wouldn't pull out a John Sterling.
It's an A-bomb for A-Rod.
Yeah.
Check it out, John. That was a really hard hit ball out there. All right, I'm done. I covered all the Yankee networks.
Yeah, no kidding. But with stacking, okay, stacking is basically when you take, you know, two, three, four guys from a team or five on DraftKings. And I wasn't doing a lot of that. You know, I was stacking Coors Field when it came in. But, you know, because my big thing was is if I nail the right plays anyways, then I'm just going to nail the right plays. Mm-hmm. Well, I would do it every once in a while, you know, if it was an obvious situation or, you know. But what I've found is that, okay, if I stacked, like I had the Yankees stack last night. Okay, I had Starlin Castro in that stack. And Starlin Castro barely got me, and he only got it because he came up in the bottom of the eighth and ended up getting a single. But, you know, he barely got off the schneid last night. And, you know, but everybody else in that Yankee stack was awesome,
right?
You know, except for A-Rod. But I also had Ellsbury because I put him in, and I had Beltran, who both homered.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I had Ellsbury, Beltran, A-Rod, and Castro. So I basically went 1-3-4-6. Mm-hmm. Well, if I go Gardner over Castro, and see, it's a lot of different things
right,
that you can do.
Right.
You don't always have to go 1-2-3-4. I talk about a lot of times a wraparound stack, an 8-9-1-2 or a 7-8-9-1. As far as the Blue Jays are concerned, because the bottom of that lineup is pretty potent, mm-hmm. and Jose Bautista hits in the one hole, you know. So you can get Devin Travis, Kevin Pillar, Darwin Barney, who are all under 3K on FanDuel, and then you can get Jose Bautista, or you can go Pillar, Barney, and Bautista Donaldson. You know, you don't have to go 1-2-3-4. You know, you can get creative with a lot of these stacks, and then I'm putting in one-off plays.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to hit four one-off plays that are in really, really good spots, and you can make that, you can find low-owned plays, you can mix it into chalk and two low-owned, whatever you want to do, but it's a lot easier to find four, one-off plays that don't have to hit the nuts, they just have to supplement your stack and finish high, than it is to find eight of them.
Okay.
Or four different mini stacks, you know, that all hit. It's a lot easier to find one. Now, you are putting most of your baskets, your eggs into one basket, but if you trust yourself and you trust your research, and you think you have found something, then why not capitalize off of
it? Yeah, absolutely.
And ever since I made that, I because I had been slacking on my reverse engineering, I normally do this, and it's kind of what helped make me a good player, was to continue to keep going and going and going. It's definitely what's kind of helped turn this season around is to go back and reverse engineer these lineups and figure out what you're doing wrong. What is working? You know, you go through, and I don't like the idea of, you know, stacking one game. because then that game has to be a Colorado Rockies and I forgot who it was. Oh, Cincinnati Reds, where it goes off for 17, 23 runs, you know, in order for it to work out. But if you want to stack four on one team and four on the other team and get a good pitcher in there, if it fits, do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're talking about taking a lot of chances. I mean, look, this is what...
No, I'm talking about... Not- three lineups.
What you're saying about capitalizing with, you know, having that great night and everything. I was just going to say that, you know, this is DFS. This whole thing is a chance, and you need luck. You need luck. You do need it, my friends.
You need a little bit of luck, yes.
Oh yes.
But you got to have the skill to be able to put everything together.
For sure.
Now, am I saying that you can't go and make a lineup in 5 minutes on in your office after lunch and win $100,000? No, I'm not saying that you can't do that because I've heard it happen. Yeah, see, even she agrees.
No.
So I'm not saying it can't happen, but you're going to find it very, very difficult to consistently compete and profit if you don't put a little bit of time and effort in what we in Oklahoma like to call sweat equity into it.
For sure.
So, and that's not what we like to, sorry, I pressed the mute button, do here in the DFS Army anyways, is you're never going to find us, you know, giving lineups out. You're never going to find us, you know, selling lineups or giving an optimal lineup or anything. Because it's one of those things we want you to learn why you're making the decisions, not just that you are making the decisions. You know, all the cheat sheets are great. All the, you know, the talk is great. But if you just ask, unless it's getting down to those final minutes before lock and you've got a 2v2 question, you know, you'll get a short answer. But usually when you ask, you know, Beltran or Ellsbury or Beltran or Gardner, you know, which right now is splitting hairs, you know, you're going to get a descriptive answer on not only which one we like, but the reasoning behind it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So,
yeah, I don't know much for that.
Sorry, I was responding to a question.
Slide. Get to the slate of games?
No, there's actually two more things I want to talk about. The first thing, you're like, damn it, I want to break these down. We're not breaking them down today, Al. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
They have to turn into Slack.
You
got to
see my notes. They're amazing.
Oh, well, just put pictures.
Yeah,
I'm going to
have to do that.
Cheat sheets, remember? The color haven or the highlighter havens that Chop used to love?
Yep.
That's old school, brother.
Fair.
The next thing I want to talk about is, you know, single entry versus multi-entry versus minis versus leagues, okay? And what I mean by that is this, is you have different types of contests that you can enter. And generally, I don't advocate in taking one shot, one single bullet, one lineup, one tournament.
Oh, that's how it went down last night, Mr. Hall.
Well, yeah, but...
I know, but you're right. Don't advocate for it.
But you played $25 last night.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not normal for you. That's how come I talk about
it. No, you're right, but I know. But baseball, and you know what it is, too. Especially last night, I knew I was taking a huge chance going with Chase Anderson of the Brewers. So it's not like I wanted to put, like, $100 on that. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to be putting, like, $100 or even more or something like that, I want to make sure I got Kershaw on the mound or Chris Sale or somebody like that. But with Chase Anderson, I kind of just threw it up in the sky and said, here, somebody catch it.
Yep. Here's one thing that I do, okay? And I did this last night. It depends on the slate, like I said. If I'm making two, I first decide on how many lineups I want to make, okay?
Right.
And that kind of determines how many different tournaments I'm going to enter, okay? And what I mean by that is last night I made two lineups. One of them did really, really well. The other one did well on a normal night, but on a night like last night was not so well. You know, it scored a 138, okay, which was on a night like last night, which was middle to end of the pack, okay. But instead of just entering it in one tournament and then or entering five lineups in one tournament, I do this quite often. I narrowed it down. Mm-hmm. I made two teams, and I entered a ton of tournaments. Okay? So I entered, you know, $1 mini bunts or whatever they are, sack flies, and the $5 mini rallies, and then the $10 mini line drives. And, you know, you work your way up. And then so you've got one lineup in, like, 18 to 20 different contests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I included, you know, I was in satellites and for ticket qualifiers. And, you know, I basically just went down and I got button happy. You know, I clicked on everything. Okay. It's below this level. And I just went bam, 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 bam. Okay. And the reason I did that is because you get in different tournaments, you get different cash lines. And I'll give you an example. I won a mini rally with a 227 last night. I placed third in a mini sack fly with a 227. But in the regular sack fly, I only got to 248. Now, that is out of 24,000 people, but I entered those for upside. So basically what I'm talking about is a GPP ladder system type. Okay, Chop would be proud.
Yeah.
And, you know, I won some qualifier or some satellite tickets and a whole bunch of other stuff. But if you're going to build one lineup, don't just put it in one tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're speaking to what I did yesterday. But, no, I mean, look, you're
normally don't do that, though.
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. And believe me, look, I did not know that I was going to be at that level last night. But the main thing that you want to do is absolutely capitalize on that. I mean, you know, typically on a slate that I feel really comfortable, and it's hilarious that I didn't feel comfortable with it last night, and, you know, I still was able to make a huge profit on it. But, yeah, typically I like going into all the different single entries. And, you know, me and you were talking before we hit the record button. You know, typically you're going to get a lower cash line on a lot of these GPP plays. You know, you're going to get it on, you know, like whether it's the Slam or, you know, the $3 mega tournament, whatever what's going on, you know, because people are trying different, you know, lineups, different combinations and stuff like that. So as opposed to like a single entry tournament where I think people are going to you know, they're not going to take as many chances. They're going to have a lot more refined looking. I don't want to say their lineups are more refined, but they're going to look refined. You know, so I do think that there's upside to being in both. I would certainly have a different lineup for a single entry than I would for a GPP because, you know, yeah, you have to jump a whole lot of people in a GPP. It's crazy, though. I mean, I haven't been in a sweat like this in a long time in a big GPP, but, you know, when you get towards the top there, I mean, there's like $500 singles that are going on, you know, like a double can, you know, just put you back down to like $60 or something like that, whatever the case is. But yeah, certainly, you know, a different lineup will, you know, come for a different contest.
Oh yeah. And I mean, when you get to that point, where you get into the, you know, the top 100 and then really the top 10, you know, I think I said it the other night, you know, that there was a walk in there, and I was like, that was that walk cost me $500, you know, and sometimes it works out in your favor, sometimes it doesn't, you know, when you're talking about, and that's one of the things that I loved last year about FanDuel when they had the outs, you know, you know, every out, you were sweating it to the last out.
Right.
You know, now you can kind of look and see, okay, does this guy have a chance to really, you know, you can look down. But you were sweating it to the last out because if your guy made an out, it was a minus 0.25. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were sitting there like less than a point away from first, and this guy's got coming up, you want to talk about sweating out on a lasted bat?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of crazy.
So. Yeah, I wish they would go back to the other scoring because I liked it so much more than this. It's
It made
like a home run, 6 points, woohoo! You know, like that was big timing right there. 18,
yeah.
Come on, that's just video game type stuff.
Yeah, it's everything by three, but, you know.
And I liked having the outs, you know? I mean, yeah. I didn't like it for myself, obviously, but for other folks.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's, when you, here's the way that I kind of view it. The more lineups I make, the less amount of tournaments that I enter. Okay?
Right.
Like, the different types. The less amount of lineups I make, the fewer amount of lineups I make, the more tournaments I enter.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. Man, I can't believe 45 minutes is already done and gone. We've got a ton of stuff to kind of still keep going over, but we're going to have to table that for another day. I think that's a lot of good food for thought. You know, we needed a day like this, kind of like everybody else needs a day like this. You get into that kind of monotony about breaking down slates and is this guy a good play and this guy a good play. And it's good to just kind of sit back and regroup and kind of I'm not saying we're all knowledgeable in everything, but it kind of helps to kind of pass along our knowledge to those people that maybe haven't been around the DFS Army or haven't heard us or know what we do and how we do it, to kind of give their...
Do it. You knew it was coming.
Yes, I did. You're my montage singer in the background, to kind of give these people an idea about how we view things, and they can go back and listen to it. And hopefully, if you have been around, you picked up a thing or two that you haven't heard. If this is your one of your first podcasts, I promise you there are game breakdowns most of the week, most of the time. And these are always fun when we can get on here and do stuff like this. Hopefully we can start incorporating it a little bit more. And hopefully we can get Chop's wife to be able to approve him to come back on and grace us with his presence.
Yeah,
so,
man.
All right. Yep, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. If you haven't, make sure you give us a rate, review, and subscribe to download to DFS Army on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any of your podcasting services out there. And for Al Walsh and the DFS Army, I am Boomer's Daddy. Peace.